Good morning. My name is Carl, and I am a recovered food addict. And this is a sharing on step two, and in particular the fourth chapter of the big book, We Agnostics. I'd like to begin with just recalling the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may be of help to those I would help. And I'm misquoting it, of thy power, thy will, thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always. And I hope this talk will be a witness to God's power, God's love, and God's way of life for me personally and for the words of the fourth chapter. Well, We Agnostics, the fourth chapter. This for me is in some ways the most profound chapter of the entire big book. That's not saying it is the most, but it, for me it is. It starts out by saying that lack of power is our dilemma, so therefore willpower is not enough. We do not have enough power to overcome our alcoholism or our food addiction. And then it says what I think is the most telling words in the book for me. It says the main objective of this entire book is to enable us to find a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problem. Which will solve our problem. Those are my favorite five words in the entire book. The higher power, which will solve my problem. I can't solve it. If I could, I wouldn't be powerless. I wouldn't have a problem with food addiction. I could go on a diet and I could make it stick. But I can't, and I've proved that 1,000 times. So anyway, that's page 45, I believe, where it says lack of power is our dilemma. And before that, it says that the whole, or maybe it's slightly after, the whole purpose of the big book is to find a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problem. At any rate, it goes on, the big book, and I believe this is page 46. It says that there's only two things that we need to do to practice step two, and in particular to make the beginnings of connecting with this higher power. The first thing is to lay aside prejudice, and the second thing is a willingness to believe. Well, what does laying aside prejudice means? It means basically that I come into 12 steps, at least most of us do, and certainly I did, with all kinds of old prejudices about the higher power. And basically they're prejudices that the higher power is not a higher power. Power perhaps, but not a higher power. Not a power that has the power to solve my problems or in my case, the love to solve my problems. I find that I need love perhaps even more than I need power. That's a false dichotomy. But if I don't have a higher power who loves me, I don't have a higher power who's going to give me power. And I have a very deep experience of a higher power who does not love me. It might be much more accurate to say a higher power hated me. A power who was judgmental, punishing, and most of all, very distant, far away, could care less about me. Well, that kind of higher power is not going to give me any power. That kind of higher power doesn't love me. And it is an old prejudice of mine to think that that's the way the higher power is. So the big book says that the first thing that we need to do is to lay aside prejudice. And then it says we have to have a willingness to believe. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that I need to have a willingness to change my belief system. I need to have a willingness to lay aside those old prejudices and to take a positive direction toward being open to a power greater than myself, which, as a matter of fact, does love me and does have the power to be the solution to all my problems. So that is what I think it means. And I oftentimes tell people, and I myself practice this, is that one of the greatest ways to practice willingness is simply to get down on my knees in the morning to say, hey, God, look, I'm a food addict. I need help today. And with my body to show the higher power that I am open to the possibilities. I think that's what we mean when so often people talk about act as if. In other words, to be on the lookout for ways in which the higher power will help me today. Acting as if. It's possible, and therefore it might actually happen. I think a good example of this is a GPS. I was very slow to use a GPS, and the simple reason was that I didn't want to give that lady who talks over the cell phone, I didn't want to give her the power to tell me where to go. I was afraid that she wouldn't really take me where I needed to go. And little by little, I decided, well, I think I'm going to trust that. And it really was a matter of trusting. It was a matter of trusting that that lady knew what she was talking about, and that GPS, that whole monstrous system, and all the software and all the satellites and all the voice and everything else could somehow actually take me where I needed to go. And, of course, when I put my trust in that power greater than myself, it really worked. It really worked. So that's a good example, I think, of laying aside prejudice and being willing to believe. At any rate, of course, the belief is in one's own concept of God, and that's enough. That is enough. That's what Abby brought to Bill in Bill's story. Abby said to Bill, well, look, my conception doesn't work for you. Well, try your own conception, no problem. And then Bill so earnestly responded and said, good, I want to do exactly that. That's all I need to do, and that's all I want to do. So the big book says that God does not make too hard terms for those who seek him. Oh, those words are so helpful to me. And then it goes on, to us, the realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. So we don't need somebody else's concept of a higher power. We need just our own. And our own has to be a higher power which really will provide us the power. If we don't have that kind of a higher power, well, then we've got a higher power that's useless to us. And all that stands in the way is our thinking. So anyway, the big book concludes in this chapter by saying that either God is everything or God is nothing, and then it says, what would we choose? So either I'm powerful and I don't need God, or I'm powerless and I do need a higher power. And then on page 55, this is still in We Agnostics, it says, deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. So that idea is in us already. It's a matter of turning away from those old prejudices. And three sentences later, it says, we found the great reality deep down within us. Where is that? Where is that higher power? It's right in us, inside us, deep down in our heart. Well, I want to comment on some of the words of this chapter, of this step, rather. It says, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I want to talk about the word could, and I want to talk about the word sanity. We don't believe that a God at this stage, at step 2 stage, in step 11 things are different, and step 10 things turn around. They're totally different. I'll mention that in a moment. But anyway, at this point, we're coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, that word could means that we have a reasonable hunch. We think that it's conceivable that a higher power could help us. We think that it's worth taking a chance on that higher power. It may be a long shot, but it's worth taking a chance, and we're willing to take that chance. It means that something could happen. It doesn't mean that something is guaranteed. It means that something could happen. It's like I look out in the morning and the sun is shining, there's not a cloud in the sky, and I say, oh boy, this is going to be a beautiful day. Well, I don't know that come afternoon the dark clouds might come in and pour cats and dogs. I don't know that. But I'm taking a chance. I'm looking at the cloudless sky and I'm saying, you know, I'll bet this is going to be a great day. So that's what the could means. It's taking a chance. It's something might happen. And that's one of the main words, main meanings of the word believe, by the way. Look it up in the dictionary and you'll find that it's a belief. It's not a certainty. It's a belief. Well, the second thing I want to comment on is the word sanity. It says, could restore us to sanity. Well, sanity does not mean doing crazy things. What sanity means in this step is sanity is the belief that we cannot have flour and sugar and avoid binging. Sanity is the belief that we cannot safely ever again have flour and sugar or whatever it is that's addictive to us. Insanity is the opposite belief. That's, oh, I can have flour and sugar. It's not going to cause me a problem. Well, I might binge today, but, you know, next week I'm going to go on that diet and things are going to be fine. Next week I'm going to, you know, get some therapy. Everything's going to be fine. Next week I'll find out how to pray so that I can get God to help me with this thing. So I can control God. I may not say that consciously, but unconsciously I may very well say it, at least I did. Interestingly enough, we're talking about the higher power at this step could restore us to sanity. In the 10th step, the amazing promise is that sanity has returned. It has returned in the 10th step. So by the time we get through to the 10th step and we're practicing the 10th step, now things have turned around. In the second step, we believe that sanity could be restored. In the 10th step, it says the great promise is sanity has returned. That's quite an amazing thing. So these steps really turn everything around. Well, having said that, that's my understanding of what the Big Book has to say. That's my understanding of step four, we agnostics. So let's see what I want to say next. I'll talk now about my own experience of this step. Basically, I came into OA in 1987, some 30 years ago. And then I got into AA 5 years later and got into other programs even after that. And it wasn't until 2009 that I truly made step two. And here are some of the old prejudices that I had and didn't manage to get rid of. And I didn't get rid of them. My higher power got rid of them until 2009. But anyway, here are some of my old sick ideas, as it were. One was I can demand love. God's love means that God does what I want. For example, God will enable me to lose weight. Another one was God tells me what to do, but he does not help me to do it. Another one, I must impress God in order to get love and help. God will judge me if I screw up, and he will punish me if I don't impress him, so therefore I must impress him. I must be good, and then afterwards God will love me. The absolute opposite of the way it really works. Another, and this was just devastating to me, and that is God is external to me. He does not live in my heart. He lives a long, long way away. He's unreachable. He's transcendent. I can't reach him, and he doesn't care about me. Another one of my prejudices was God is irrational. Sometimes he's nice, sometimes he's mean. And therefore, of course, he's unreliable. So when my life was going well, then I figured, well, God's a nice guy. He loves me. When my life was going poorly, and of course the addiction doesn't exactly make one's life go well, then he doesn't like me. Then he's judging me. Then he's punishing me. And so he's irrational. Another one, my prejudice was that God is an emotional high. And then the only, this was another big problem for me, which is the very problem that we agnostics solve. My problem was that the only way to contact God was through religious and church-related activities. I prayed like crazy. I studied theology. I studied the Bible. I went on retreats. I went to church all the time. And by all the time, I mean 6 days a week. So I would do all these things to impress God, make God love me, and obviously I failed. God would love me anyway. That's the way God was. But I thought I needed to impress him. Well, and I thought that the only way to God was through my personal religion, the one that I had been raised in, and that no other ideas were possible or relevant. Well, so that's my experience. So now 2009 comes in. I've been in recovery for 15, 20 years, never made step two. And of course, if you don't make a given step, you're not going to make any other step. And now all of a sudden my higher power comes to me, and I won't try to give the details of this experience, but over a period of about 5 months, I went into that experience in 2009 with one higher power. I came out with another higher power altogether. And the higher power I came out with, I've mentioned this before, was a woman whose name is the Beloved, and she's the most wonderful woman I've ever met in my entire life. And she restored me to sanity. She enabled me to practice the rest of the steps and have a long series of further awakenings that enabled me to recover and get sanity and get serenity, get all the other wonderful things that come from the steps. And my process in 2009 and even since then in the other awakenings I've had, and I've had seven more, all very powerful experiences, were really a step two process. One is to begin to realize little by little that God could restore me. God could do for me what I could not do for myself, as the ninth step promise says. And then the second part of the process was to realize that God actually had done wonderful things for me. And here the role of gratitude becomes key, because for me, gratitude is a recognition that God has restored me, that God has done wonderful things for me. And gratitude is the key to my program. It's the foundation of my program. It's the core of my program today. And now, deep down in my heart, I know God is there, and I know God loves me, and I know God is powerful, and I know God will give me the way of life of the 12 steps, the design for living. So I've seen this over and over again, and it happens not only on a big level, namely a spiritual awakening level, but it also happens every day as I do things like the tools of OA 90. When I do reading, when I do writing, when I go to meetings, God restores my sanity all the time, and comes to me and proves his love and his power and his care for me. And of course, the third step talks about we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, not to just any old God. And then I think I'd like to close by a couple of prayers. I worked with an atheist in OA one time, and we developed a prayer which I think was very helpful. It was helpful to him. He found a higher power through this prayer, and it certainly has been helpful to me, and I've found other people have found it helpful. And the prayer goes like this. God, I do not believe in you, but just in case you're out there, please help me today. So it's a very honest prayer. It starts out by saying, look, God, I'm not going to kid around. I don't believe in you. I don't think you're out there. I don't think you care about me. I don't think you really love me. I don't think you've got the power to help me. Who knows? Whatever those old prejudices are, God, this is where I'm at. But then it says, just in case you're out there, please help me today. So it's a prayer that is not closing myself off entirely to God. It's a prayer that says, look, I don't believe in you, but you could be out there. Maybe something will happen today that I hadn't noticed before. So that's the second part of this attitude, is where I put my ear to the ground, as it were, and I try to listen and I try to notice. And maybe some things will happen today where God is really loving me and taking care of me. Maybe I'll make it through this day without binging in some way. Or maybe some kind of improvement will come in my life. Who knows? So it doesn't exclude the possibility that there's a power greater than myself. In fact, it's a declaration that I'm open to that. And I make this prayer, by the way, on my knees. Now, I didn't personally make it because this wasn't where I'm at. But I've also heard a variation of this prayer, and it's really not any different. But I hear lots of people make this kind of prayer, and they start out by saying, God, I do believe in you. Not, God, I don't believe in you, but it starts out, God, I do believe in you. But then it goes on to say, but I don't believe you will help me today. You know, maybe you'll help some other people. I've noticed other people and get some help from you, or maybe you used to help me once upon a time, or maybe if such and such, then you'll help me. But I don't believe you'll help me today. But then if you go on out of that prayer and say, but just in case you're out there, please help me today. If we can just tack that on to whatever prayer that we feel comfortable starting with, then we have got a chance. Then we put our ear to the ground and see if God doesn't do anything for us. And that's the way this chapter ends up. It says, the consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. That's page 55. And then it gives an example of a specific guy who didn't believe in God, who was an atheist, and wound up one night, he was crying out and said, listen, God, you never did anything for me. And then suddenly he has the idea, who am I to say that there is no God? And right then and there he had a spiritual experience. So all of this is possible. It's possible that God could restore us to sanity. And if we simply believe it's possible, not that it's going to happen, but it's at least possible. That's what this step is about. It's about possibility. It's about thinking that something might happen, something could happen, being open to that. So that's my experience with step 2, and that's how I understand what the big book has to say about it.